Well, hi, everybody. I hope you guys are all doing great. Any thoughts, questions, or things that you'd like to talk about just briefly at the beginning? Did you find the brain science of story helpful as a kind of an addendum to what we've been discussing? Any thoughts or reactions to that?
Hello? Can you hear me?
Go ahead, please.
Hi. Hi, this is the Bai from Washington, D.C. I'm really enjoying how you're approaching becoming an author. And I was especially interested and almost elated to hear the idea about the quantum Zeno idea.
Yeah.
And how looking at quarks and those teeny tiny particles that look like they're not moving as things that are actually moving, which made me believe that even when I thought I wasn't moving,
yeah,
wasn't doing anything, I was accomplishing it. Is that the appropriate interpretation of it?
Yes, I think that's a great idea. You know, once we, you know, the very common thing I'm sure you heard is, you know, the things that fire together wire together. So when we want to create or etch a more permanent track, an automatic track in our brain, we do the same things repeatedly. We just want to be sure that we do the right things. And the quantum Zeno effect is part of that, that just the act of focusing can begin a whole process of engagement in a different way. It aligns the energy field of the brain. Dr. Richard Schwartz, who is someone I know and have collaborated with, began and coined that term and has done some significant work on it. He was a guest of mine in my mastermind group as a content expert contributor. Look up his work. There's some things that might be of interest to you as coaches, because that's a really important thing, and that's just another variation of what we talk about in coaching as how important it is to focus. Because we get what we focus on, not what we want. So be sure and focus on the right thing, and then create a plan to systematically generate the strategies and achieve the goals of that. You heard me say in the very beginning, if you want to change, focus on the system, not just the goals. Because most people have the same, winners and losers have the same goals. It's the system that can create a way of doing that, and the focus that you do as a coach and help your clients do to create a system of a new story. So, yeah, thanks for that highlight. I think that's a great application.
Thank you.
Any other thoughts or questions, especially about the brain science story? Because I know we didn't talk about some of the things in there, but any aspects of that that were helpful or useful to you? Well, feel free to jump in at any point at the beginning or the end when we're on discussion mode. We're going to talk about the business of writing and some of the aspects of the selling of the telling and selling your story. So I especially want to have some time at the end to field any questions, because this may generate some questions, because this is the practical aspect of doing a book, because you write because of what you want to learn. You do what you do because it enhances and develops your skill, your ability, your knowledge. But then you also don't want it to be a rose in the desert. You want to be able to benefit other people and engage, because that's the feedback. I mean, I often do one of these seminar series on something that I'm writing because I love the feedback, the questions, the kind of things that people respond to. It kind of helps shape some of what I talk about, just like I talked about in the beginning, how much I appreciated the questions that you sent in or the answers you sent in to those two questions, because it helps give me an idea of what can be beneficial to you, and I'll incorporate it into the discussion. In fact, I added a seminar series just this last year about dealing with unexpected and unprecedented issues, such as unprecedented success, fame, wealth, power, the things that people don't have a model for, because it's what I'm immersed in doing, writing and research and writing about these issues now, so that feedback's very helpful. So that's why I remember I mentioned maybe a writer's group, because you could, can I get a mute for someone who's shuffling paper, because your microphone is picking it up and you don't hear it, but we do. In fact, if you're breathing, mute until you're ready to add or ask something. So that kind of feedback and camaraderie can be very, very helpful. Anything else, just briefly, before we move into our topic for this seminar? Okay, well, I'll put us on lecture mode, and we'll come back and have a discussion at the end. Okay, we're going to talk about the business of writing. I want to state that quote that you see in your outline from Ira Gershwin. He was asked, what comes first, the words or the music? And he quickly answered, the contract. So that's the reality even of an artist. So here's a brief recap as we discuss selling your story. Writing is like selling. It must solve a problem or meet a need. Do your groundwork. Foster connections and affiliations. Do research. Think about marketing strategies as you go along. Gather information. Focus groups, classes, conferences, networks. For nonfiction books, publishers buy a book proposal and the first chapter. And you guys see the book proposal that I sent, and I trust you with treating that totally confidentially, because although it's copyright, it is not published. It's not out there. And my agent would, I think, not be very happy if she knew I was sending it to you guys as an example. So just treat it confidentially, but you're welcome to it if it would be helpful anyway. Remember, that's just one way to do it. So here are three secrets of writing success. Choose what you want to engage. Believe it will be yours, and then take positive action every day toward that goal. Now, as a coach, consultant, business person, you already know how to do the thing that writers find most difficult, to think about the sale. The essence of publishing, it's a business with a bottom line, with a risk, with a marketplace, with a business goal. You create and market a product, your knowledge. A writer may mistakenly put all energy into crafting a message rather than also thinking like a business person. Both are necessary. So let's revisit three questions, kind of like the refrain in a song. Each time you get to the refrain, more of the lyrical story is unfolded, so it's a different experience. So let's revisit three questions. How do you write a book? Well, same way you began seeing yellow Jeeps after visualizing one. Once you began to think about writing a book, programming your effort and energy to that, you start seeing things in different ways. You hear vignettes, ideas crystallize. You have a structure or a framework to listen, to hear, to see. You develop awareness of what you say and how you say it. It makes you a better listener. It makes you a better speaker. Remember, nobody ever sits down to write a book. You sit down to write a few sentences or a page. Second question, why do you write a book? Why do you write? To sell the book? To develop a second career? To further your existing career? To learn something? For the joy of writing? To make a difference. For whom do you write? Remember that your first authentic answer is for yourself. Yet you have to respect the marketplace. The attuned needs provide answers. Make your approaches to answers accessible. You attune to existing needs as well as remain true to your own story. Your gift to readers is who you are. So here are some options for getting your book published. And I want to emphasize this because there are many different ways to get a book published. I want to discuss the top eight, these options. One, self-publish. You can form your own publishing company. I did that for an earlier book, Roadmap for a New Wellness Story. It was the onlog, the beginning of my licensed specialty certification training for coaches, for New Life Story Wellness coaches. So I'll illustrate the steps. I'll give you an idea as an overview of what's involved in each of these eight so you can pick the one that may fit your needs and what you want to do best. Now, when you actually find a printer, each book can cost between $2 and $3 to print, depending on quantity. You buy several hundred, it goes down. If you publish a book that a company or large group can use, you can sell multiples of several thousand. You can do that when you self-publish. You can even do an introduction that is a specific message to that company or that group. You're going to sell, you know, 600 books to a company. You can make a special introduction for that company, maybe even a message also from the CEO of that company. So think about how you can customize that and the unique things that you can do that somebody just can't do that buying books off of Amazon. If you sell to a corporation that wants 10,000 books for people, you can do various things with that template that can be very cost effective. And a letter from the CEO as the first page is an example. So here are some considerations for constructing that book that you self-publish. Now, I'll just give you an idea, an estimate, a ballpark of figures. And this is based on a 250-word typewritten double-spaced page of maybe 100, 125 pages. Editing. Now, whatever you do, I'll stick to this format that I'm talking about, but whatever you do in whatever of these eight variations and counting, and there are more, you'll want to have your book professionally edited. That will cost a few to several hundred dollars. Now, email me when you get to this step if you choose this option, and I'll give you a personal introduction to the head of an editing consortium that I use. He'll match your work to an editor knowledgeable in that area for the most reasonable fee around. And that proposal that you saw, that proposal was edited by the guy I referred to earlier, Peter Gelfand, G-E-L-F-A-N, and his last book, Hurling Words into Darkness, is a terrific book for writers. And it was a very reasonable edit. That cost me, I think, $800. So let me know if you'd like an introduction, because he has a virtual stable of editors, some of whom even do parlay into getting you hooked up with a specific agent for all of that. So formatting. Now, you'll need to get it formatted for a book to make it look like, instead of a Word manuscript, to make it look like a book. That's, you know, $400 to $700 maybe. Indexing. You may want to do indexing, like the back with, this is one of the last steps now because it has to be specific to page. So this is maybe $300 or $400. Graphic design. Now, this is something you can do simultaneously with these steps. You can get a graphics firm or person to do a book cover, spine, and back, maybe $300, $400, $500. Every book that you see, when you look at library, or no, I guess when you look at, the three specialty certified programs, the curriculum and the client workbook for each of those, I've used the same person. I'll be happy to refer you to her. She's a graphic designer who does terrific work, very reasonable. You'll probably want an ISBN number and barcode. This is about $100. And then you send that to get it printed. So if you do this, and this is work now, because you're doing the cost of all this up front, and then you're buying the books for distribution, you probably want a printer who's also a distributor. In other words, somebody can order the book directly from that person and warehouse, that group rather, and warehouse the book and handle orders if you sell single copies. So that's one way to go. Now, I'm not recommending it, but I want you to be aware of it. I mean, what worked for me about that was it was a prelude to a much more viable contribution of the whole training program, and it generated some client. One of my favorite clients of all time happened to see this book. She walked by in a used bookstore. It fell on the floor, and she picked it up, gave me a call, and we were off and running. So there's a chapter in Engaging the Ineffable about synchronicity and a chapter about serendipity. So just for reference. One is subsidy publishing. So here you pay a part of the publishing cost. The benefit is that you have a publishing house that does all the work that I mentioned except the editing, and you do the writing and have it edited. So unless you negotiate hard, you won't have any influences on any of these choices, including the cover. And I'll give you more specific examples here. Another is print on demand, POD. These publishers like Ex Libris or iUniverse or Author House, they will put together an entire package and a ready-to-sell book for somewhere between $500 to $1,000, depending on the package. You just submit the edited manuscript. They do all the subsequent steps of publishing, along with placing your book with a book distributor and listing it on Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble. Then you get copies at an author's discount. Now, the zinger is they determine the price of the book, and they give you 40% author's discount of that book. I've done each of these with one exception. I did Making Memories, Reflections on Parenting from the Heart of a Father and the Mind of a Psychoanalyst, because I did not want a single comma changed. I wanted that to be something my kids would read someday, and if it worked as a book, if other people were interested, great. But I didn't want anything changed. Now, it happened to be picked up with a couple of interviews and became a regional bestseller. But my intent was I wanted to, including the picture on the cover that was a sculpture that I had of a dad holding two kids, kind of an abstract expressionist. So you get your 40% discount. And this is something you can distribute to, you know, clients, to presentations. The benefit is it gets your book out there. You have a book in a very few months, and then you get to actively participate in the cover design. Another is Fulfillment House. This is number four. A Fulfillment House will take an order for your book, print it, prepare it for shipping, and mail it to the publisher. They do everything. Soup to nuts. They'll have a stock of however many you say printed so that they can be shipped in a timely way. And they work with an edited manuscript and cover art. You already do the back, front, and spine design and the manuscript, and you send it to them, and they print it as soon as somebody orders. Now, The kind of thing that I found really beneficial for a fulfillment house is all of the workbooks, the client workbooks, the curriculum for all of my training courses. They're spiral, but they are printed by the fulfillment house and shipped directly to someone who orders. The cost of that is somewhere around $20 to $25 for a large curriculum, like a 300, 400 page curriculum spiral with, you know, a good slick product. And you can sell that for something upwards of $100 or $200. So it's a good return, but mostly you know exactly what someone is getting, and you have everything there that someone needs for training. As soon as they order, it triggers a shipment to that person. Now, I would suggest also having digital possibilities for everything that you do, even for something like training, because anywhere outside the United States, it's really expensive to ship a product like that. It costs a third or half as much as the product just to ship it. And in places like Africa, for example, there's an additional stipend for someone to be able to receive it that's $25, $35 on that end. So always have a digital possibility, and some people prefer that anyhow. Now, Five is a traditional publishing house by way of an agent. So for nonfiction books, you submit a book proposal like you see in my attachment. And the first chapter, I think there are two chapters there, to an agent. And the agent will submit it to a select, you know, I know exactly where my agent is planning to offer that book. And she did it only about a week ago. This is sort of fresh off the printer. So usually agent royalties are around 15%, but they do things and have connections that you could never even imagine. And often the royalty for a nonfiction book for a first-time author may be somewhere in the $10,000 or $15,000 range. You can also get an advance on the royalty for two reasons. It's money for you. Now, I don't expect any questions about that. And it's the publisher's commitment to your book. So the agent will negotiate for as high a royalty as possible. Six, partnering with a foundation or a company. Now, this is something I've not done, but I'll tell you what I know about it. For this option, a foundation, and especially a foundation that really wants to publicize what they do, get their information out there, or a company, may support the writing and promotion of your book to further their cause. Now, the author usually has maybe a special tie with the organization and may donate a specific portion of the proceeds to the group. But this is something you can do initially, perhaps give exclusivity to that organization or group if they have enough potential to really get your book in the hands of who they want and you want. Seven, an ebook. An ebook can be set up for automatic purchase from your website. My website, under the library tab, has ebooks set up with automatic links that download when somebody pays. And that can be something that can be very, very beneficial. The book that, I don't think it's on my library, but when a number of the people who trained with me, New Life Story Wellness, New Money Story Mentors, I wanted them to be able to have something they could use for marketing. So I suggested that they write and get edited a case study using the roadmap system. And I would edit, put that together, have it formatted, and go through all the publishing expenses. And I did it through BookBaby, which is an Amazon ebook. That part maybe cost $500. but I was able to give them a link for giving to anybody who's a client or who they wanted to be a client or just who they wanted to let know the power of a system like that with 32 case studies with 5 different sections, each section annotated and introducing by me the case studies. So that link is still ongoing. It's not been that long ago, but it's a very useful way of marketing for the people who have done the licensed specialty certification training with me, and now even for the peak performance coaches. So that's a possibility to do an ebook. You can do a very reasonable, you know, 20 to 32 page ebook, get it designed well as a freebie for introducing services or products or offerings that you have. Now, I want to mention one that I've been involved with and recommend. This number 8 is Launch Moxie, LaunchMoxie, Van Buren Publishing. They do ebooks coupled, and Chris Van Buren couples, if you get accepted and work with him, he will couple you and what you're doing, what you're publishing with 100 to 125 of his affiliates, each who have huge mailing lists, for their offering of things that are compatible with what they do. This is an affiliate network platform to offer ebooks. Now, there are a number of those. This just happens to be one that I'm familiar with. If you look at my website, MentorPath, and click on Library, you'll see kind of down and to the right, there's 3 ebooks on neuromarketing. And those are flip books that you hit the deal and the page flips, and audio combined. So he does a terrific job of this. And it's a way to expand your mailing list as well. So for any book you publish, consider having an ebook option that you control. It can work with everything except traditional publishing with a big house. And the cost per sale is pretty good per ebook, 0. It's a great option for international purchasers because shipping costs, again, are so high outside U.S. and Canada. And you'll see a book that's only an ebook on my library, Outsmart Your Brain, an instruction manual. That's where that chapter on visualization comes from. So let's consider just briefly copyright issues. For any form or venue of publishing, from article to book, always keep the copyright on any work you produce. Be sure you read all the print that you never give copyright to anyone else. Never sign it over to anyone else under any circumstances. I will haunt you. It's your intellectual property. Now, the law grants you automatic copyright protection when you create your work. It doesn't even have to be completed to be protected. You own the copyright of your work as you create it. Registration isn't required, but there are advantages to doing it. Here are 2 of the most prominent advantages. Registration establishes a public record of the copyright claim. Before an infringement suit can be filed in court, registration is necessary for works of U.S. origin. Now, this is an issue, just a brief personal sidebar. My wife, in completing her PhD, actually had to take issue with and go to the mat with a faculty member that plagiarized her, and she won. So protect what you write. It's your property. Now, let's look at a question that you probably are asking. Why self-publish? Well, think about self-publishing. This used to be anathema to any serious author, but times have evolved. Self-publishing has at least 5 benefits. 1, control. With a traditional publishing house, you sign an exclusive agreement that prevents you from having input about most of the decisions that affect your book, including the cover, the release date, and if your book doesn't sell quickly and the publisher lets it get out of print, there's often a waiting period before you're allowed to seek another publisher, and a time period before you can publish another book. Two, money. A contract with a book publisher doesn't necessarily give you a guarantee that your book will get onto bookstore shelves, or how long it will stay on those shelves if it actually makes it. If you're a new author, your publisher will allocate little to no marketing dollars to promote your book. If it does well, it's because it's by your own hand it does well. Your reward will be a tiny fraction of the book's total profits for a traditional publisher. Three, waiting and rejection. Realistically, first-time authors have difficulty breaking into a blue-chip publishing house. Many nonfiction book projects are time-sensitive, and you may not want to wait 18 to 24 months for your book to be published. Four, autonomy. Self-published authors usually have confidence and have developed a following, a platform, by giving talks, seminars, having blogs, podcasts, things that accumulate email addresses. As an expert in your area, you may not need a publisher's approval. You may also happen to like being in the driver's seat of your book project. So, remember the first question an agent will ask you, the first question publisher will ask the agent, and the first question you need to be right now asking yourself, how do I develop my platform? The number of people who are interested in what I have to say. And the equity of the internet is emails. Five, the power of belief. You most probably believe deeply that others will benefit from reading what you have to say, or you wouldn't be listening to me right now, or wanting to get your message into a more prominent form, a permanent form. I'll bet that's an unshakable conviction. I'll also bet that a deep belief motivates what you do as well as what you write, a strong sense of purpose. That's why you need to write a book and sell a book. You may want to consider self-publishing if some or all of these things fit. Additionally, there is no longer a stigma attached to self-publishing. A decade or two ago, and especially before that, it was a death knell for a serious author to self-publish a book. It was called vanity presses. Now it's accepted, sometimes necessary. I've even heard major literary agents, nationally prominent, recommend it to certain authors to test the market. So my first venture into non-traditional publishing, at that time, up till that time, I had done all professional books, like for shrinks, you know, psychiatry, psychoanalysis. It was before I made my transition into mentor coaching and in a different subject area of writing, still about success and that sort of thing, but from a totally different perspective. It was making memories. When I did making memories, I did it kind of as a therapy for myself. I began writing it in a year and a half before my son, my oldest, left for college, completed it a year after my youngest, my daughter, also left for college. It was my way of saying goodbye to parenting, the most important thing I'd ever done. I needed to bring closure to an entire era of my life without burdening them. I was mourning their childhood as well as the kid I could be again with them. I wanted both my children to know someday what it was like being their parent from my perspective, and I didn't want an editor to touch a single comma of it. I wanted, this is what I was talking about, the picture that I wanted was on the cover. I did this with Ex Libris at the time. I wanted to be exactly what I said, the way I said it, and not have to worry about marketing. So, no one cares more about your book than you do. Now, let's revisit the idea of titles and think about titles that tell and sell. We're talking in the business seminar here. Titles. 3 to 5 words that capture the essence of the book's promise. 3 to 5 words. I'll tell you why in a minute. Does the title sell? It's an answer, not a question. It's a solution, not a problem. So the title, is it positive and empowering? Is the title a memorable image or metaphor or a symbol that captures the essence of the book? Is it a hook? Is the title a prescription for the cure the book will provide? Does a title make a promise the book will fulfill? Does the title offer your unique position, your good news? Does the title speak to one of the five great marketing motivators? Fear, exclusivity, guilt, greed, or the need for approval. Now, greed is in there, and it's got a bad reputation, but its definition, its actual definition of greed is a rapacious desire for more. That is a passion to tell and sell your story. Does the title appeal to the needs and values of potential readers? And as we've talked before, does the subtitle clearly spell out the benefits that the reader will get in reading your book? So here's an exercise for that. Set aside a time, an appointment with yourself. Brainstorm a title for your book. Write down everything that you think of. Allow 20, 30 minutes. Get grounded and centered and just start free associating about titles. Don't censor or try to focus only in one direction. Free associate, brainstorm, free stream of consciousness. Allow a free flow of ideas and write it down. Put down anything and everything that comes to you. Come up with, for example, 30 potential titles that you write down. Another exercise, another day, same appointment with yourself. Get grounded and centered. Brainstorm a subtitle. Same free flow, just not all at the same time as you're brainstorming your titles. Two separate appointments with yourself. Carve out a separate time. Brainstorm 30 possible subtitles. Then later, another day, come back to your brainstormed titles and subtitles and pick your favorites. Put those away for 24 hours. Then come back a third time. Look at how some may fit together, what rings true and seems engaging. Select one or two of each. That's not an emergency decision. Exercise. Another appointment with yourself. Some bullet points. Write 5 to 6 bullet points of benefits readers will get by reading your work. And it's as if you're speaking to the reader. Make it clear, brief, specific and succinct. 6, 7, 8 words per bullet. Here's a publishing roadmap, one publishing roadmap, and there are many ways to do this. This is roughly in the order of occurrence, roughly. Come up with your idea. Do your homework, your research. Choose how you're going to write, whether to type or dictate or handwrite your material. Research topics and also competition. Use Google Alerts for this. You'll get something every day. Develop a title and subtitle. Find similar books that you may want to use as a model. Not copy, but just use as a model. See what's out there, what kind of expectations are there. Design a working cover page. What somebody's going to see. They see you, but create a mock-up. Have a binder to hold all your material. This is some goofy stuff, and this is personal stuff, but think about your own version of this. Organize your ideas into chapters. Then consider generating a complete book proposal. No matter which of the ways you are going to publish, the book proposal is your blueprint, your organizational business plan for your book. Create your first draft of chapter 1. Then edit and review the first draft to create a second draft. Read your second draft out loud as another editing step. So here are some miscellaneous points. Those are 15 steps, basically. some miscellaneous points. Two crucial elements are execution and marketing. And you don't have to be Lance Armstrong to teach people to ride a bicycle. And these are random. If you're blocked, skip past it and move to the next thing. If you're blocked in writing, get somebody else in the room and tell them what you're trying to say so what you're blocked on will come out. Consider having a tape recorder running because you may not remember. Record, maybe even video yourself pitching your idea. Then get another person to critique your pitch. Communicate your message when you're writing. Communicate the value to the reader when you're selling. So let's talk a little bit about platform and kind of condense some things. So if you're working on a book project, what do you do first? Write your book, set up a website or a blog, start a podcast, an online magazine. It does matter, and what you decide depends on your destination. So for a major book deal, to publish with a big publisher, you do things a little bit differently from what you do to fill a coaching practice or establish yourself as a professional speaker. Your platform, your presence in the marketplace is how many people know you, as well as why people know you. Your brand is tied to your audience. For major publicity and big buck deals, existing platform is critical. You'll see how much exaggerated emphasis in that book proposal I did on marketing. I thought of, you know, everybody and their granny's friends that might be able to help me with marketing because I knew that's what they're looking for. And I wanted an international publisher. So the first question, again, the agent asks and the publisher asks, what's your platform? Who knows you? How many people do you know will buy your book? So think about all the ways you can build your platform, your email list, blog, podcast, affiliate partnership, writing articles for publication, speaking, workshop, seminar. Anytime you do something, you have a blog. You can do a blog without having a website. You can do a blog within a website, but always have a place at the top of that blog that somebody can sign on to get any subsequent postings of that blog. That's part of your email list. You have permission to notify people so that you're not spamming. So think about presentations to conferences, trade shows, organizations, affiliate contacts and partnerships, media exposure, radio, TV, podcasts, teleseminars. Be sure with everything you do, from website to speaking engagements, that you have a way to capture email addresses. Then establish an ongoing communication with people who become your audience. So to enhance a coaching practice, brand and niche are important. Your brand is your promise. What's your promise? What's the good news of your book? The aha. Make sure you have a way to connect with potential clients and readers from your website and blog. And think about becoming a professional speaker. One of the first things I did when I made a transition to coaching practice was to do Toastmasters. It was immensely useful and immensely beneficial for presenting to people rather than getting up and reading a scientific paper, which is all I knew. So I knew I had some work to do. Common to all of what we've talked about is an authentic brand and niche. Then think about the message you want to convey, how you want to convey it, and how you'll do that. Another way to do work in writing and hone your ideas, white papers. White papers are persuasive documents that usually describe problems and how to solve them. It's kind of a cross between a magazine article and a brochure. The reason I assume that some of you mentioned something about engaging the ineffable. Almost every one of those chapters started as a white paper to coaches. I did white papers as continuing education for the especially certification coaches I train, and used examples, case examples from coaching, and then basically did a massive edit and a compilation for that book. So, and most white papers range maybe from 6 to 12 pages. They can be a marketing tool for your book and your practice. Relate them to the topic of your book. Or a white paper can be a compilation of three blogs or vice versa. So a suggestion, whenever you do a presentation, have access to a white paper related to that topic that you can offer to that audience. Maybe it's on your website and they have to leave the email to get it, or they give you their email there and you send it to them. Whatever it is, that can be a very useful way to provide information and get emails, and you're associated with those kinds of things. So some assorted things you can do to promote your book. There's a lot in the outline. I just want to highlight two or three. You can start your own blog. That's much easier than starting at a podcast level because you have to have a producer. But you can even look at blogs, see what you like, be a guest blogger or a guest podcast person. You can donate a copy of your book to a charity silent auction. If you attend, you sign it for the winner. And there are a number of things to do, and here's the next thing to do. Get to work on your next book. Sometimes the best way to sell your first book is by promoting your second. So, authors who get published still need to do marketing, and books with a special interest niche audience are ideal for print-on-demand. If you're happy with small but steady sales, if you want to get started and then generate interest from a traditional publisher, or if you want to keep an older book in print, a print-on-demand, and some of the ones I mentioned, iUniverse, AuthorHouse. If, on the other hand, you want to make a business of your book and you want to make a lot of money, self-publishing may be the right choice because you get all the revenue. The upfront fee is bigger, but at the end of the day, you can make a lot more money if that's an objective. If you have a story to tell and execute it cogently, your story deserves to find a market. Making a success of any self-published book takes time and energy. A website, maybe paid keyword marketing, marketing to other websites, paying to be guests on Pi, or paying an agent to get you a guest appearance. I have a buddy who I trained who was telling me about he paid $5,000 to someone who guaranteed him a podcast on 25 leading podcast producers, and those interviews would be within a year, and he had tremendous benefits from that. I think you'll see in my marketing that's one of the things that I plan to do. So unless you become your own promoter and distributor, unless you work hard for your book, you'll be Amazon number 2,400,023. Marketing figured prominently in the success of L. Trevor Grant's book on New York City's foster care program. He was rejected by all publishers all over town, but Dr. Grant, a former social worker with a child welfare agency, decided to publish the book himself. He managed to get the book seen by nearly everyone who had something to do with child welfare or was studying it in college. Someone saw the book and called Geraldo Rivera. You got to have this guy on your show. His life has never been the same since. The book is used as a teaching school in schools of social work. Now, I heard Jack Canfield tell this story about Chicken Soup for the Soul. He said he sent a copy of his new book. This is the first time the first Chicken Soup for the Soul ever hit the stands. He sent a free copy to every juror on the O.J. Simpson trial, and whenever the TV cameras panned the jurors during recess, most of them were reading his book. Sales skyrocketed. He also sent them to the alternate jurors, too, just in case. Most people who buy books will know something about the subject of the book. A much smaller percent will know the author. Nobody knows anything about the publishers. Readers don't care who publishes a book. Did you notice when I sent you that link? Who published Engaging the Ineffable? Paragon House, I respect very much. It's a great publisher. But it could have been, you know, Podunk Press, Texas. And you'd have still looked at what's it going to be about. So to publicize your book, you got to capture people's attention in a world filled with media noise. It's the readers we write for. They don't care who published the book. Remember your silver bullet, the clear, sharply focused description of your book that explains what it's about, why it's special, and the specific benefits you're going to provide. Now, the business of writing an application. Here's my preface so I can say what I want to say to you. This is my my denier. In all things matter, in all matters regarding your tax return, be certain to consult a qualified accounting professional. Now, let's talk. Okay? Many of you know about these deductions already. You probably do them for your coaching practice, but you can deduct expenses related to the business of your writing just like the business of your coaching practice, including professional entertainment, supplies, all kinds of things, equipment, books, subscription, expenses related to research. Marketing expenses include advertising, promotion, business-related meals and travel. Why do you think you read so many novels that are set in Rome, Paris, or Monte Carlo instead of downtown Newark? The key to each of these deductions, especially for meals, for professional development and entertainment, keep adequate records. Document the business purpose. If you don't already have one for a related business like coaching, consider opening a separate bank account with a separate credit card for business expenses. That way, everything you put on that card, you can simply send to your CPA at the end of the year with the designation of what each expense is for, what category. And my accounting for what I do takes about 20 minutes at the end of the year. I like it very, like George Costanza, I like things you don't have to think about. And as you might guess, for some time now, I rarely commit a non-deductible act. So here's a final thought, because I want to reserve a few minutes. A final thought, a secret, and a Zen story for authors. The thought. Once you start writing, you'll never look at a piece of writing the same way again. Once you begin capturing your thoughts and musings, you'll feel a magnetic pull to continue. When you find your personal style to capture thoughts, images, feelings, whether it's writing on a yellow pad or seeing your words materialize on a computer screen or holding a dictation device to speak to an imagined audience, it will have its own appeal. Think of experiences that have been pivotal for you in opening new awareness. After my first cross-country bicycle trip with a buddy, I've never since looked at inclines and terrains in the same way, without immense appreciation. As a photographer, I see light and framing a different way. After my first watercolor class, I've never seen an aspen tree since, without thinking of a particular wrist motion to get that downward branch etching on the trunk. Something God knew in her infinite wisdom since the beginning of time. Your book will take on a life of its own. Now, I hope our life, our time together to consider some notions about the art, the craft, the science, and the business of writing has been helpful. I hope it's been perturbating, as well as affirming. And I hope in a small way to inform and guide you to make a difference for yourself and for others with your present and future books. The secret? One book is like a potato chip. And here's the Zen story for authors to conclude. An oak tree is brought into creation by two simultaneous forces. One is the acorn from which it began, the seed holding all the promise and potential for the full mature tree. The other force is the future tree itself, which desires so powerfully to exist that it pulls its seed, the acorn, into being. It draws forth from the germ and guides the evolution from nothingness to maturity. In this respect, it's the oak tree that creates the acorn from which it's born. Your book desires creation. You are already in a unique relationship with it. Listen carefully, nurture it, prune it, let it grow, and be born. Okay, we're in discussion mode now. I'm interested to hear thoughts, questions, or reflections, particularly if any of you have a sentence of what is the most important thing you're taking away. I'd like others to hear your experience of, just in a succinct sentence, what's the most important thing you're taking away from our series together? If you'd say your name and share that, please. I told you I was going to ask you. We're not hanging up until I hear some. I'm very interested. What's the most important
thing? Can you hear me now?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, hi, it's Bonita. It's Bonita.
Hey, how are you?
I'm exceptional. I'm really excited about this topic because I've been working on a book, you know, and I did my title of my book really is not so much on the clinical arena, but it's on the spirit. It's called Spiritual DNA, The Truth Will Set You Free. And it's been something I've wanted to work on for a long time.
That's a great combination of the clinical and the coaching, Bonita. Yeah.
Oh, you like that?
I do. Excellent.
That's encouraging already.
Well, yeah. It sounds great. It's good to hear from you. Were you going to say something else?
Oh, yes, I am. Yeah, it was about the marketing, because I think that organic marketing is what I wanted to hear your comments on that, and that is the Facebook. Facebook is really huge now. I was part of Tony Robbins' experience, and there were over a million plus people. Kevin Mahoneke came on and wrote a book called Green Light, and there was 1.1 million on the platform, and I thought, wow. So organic marketing on Facebook has its place, and I wanted to ask you what your thoughts about that were in terms of when you were saying about your platform and letting people know who you are, putting it out there like that title out there.
I think that's a great idea, and I think you can get even more specific just within Facebook before you then expand to other socials and to the preeminent business media, LinkedIn. So just with Facebook, think about using that. Think about developing a special interest group, and you can, say, develop a group around your book and get people to follow. And every time you send an announcement or some goodie that is going to happen or some progress note, it automatically goes to all those followers. So it's a thing to study just a bit, because it can be a very useful thing to really expand awareness. And there are other media, other social media that you can do. I'd say do them one at a time. Get familiar with each so that you can optimize the impact and the reach of each of those. But that's a terrific idea.
Yeah. And I had to overcome one last comment is I had to overcome we all have the false evidence of things appearing real, the fear of exposure on Facebook. I've never really trusted it. So I never really jumped out there, and I've just started now kind of venturing into that space. And I'm trying to make my desire to impact others more important than my limitations, so that I will take action.
Well, yeah, argue for your limitations, and that would be yours. So here are four words. Get out there, girl.
I hear you.
I'll see you on Facebook, okay?
Thank you so much.
I think that's really, really important and really huge. Yeah.
Excellent.
Other comments, other summaries of what you're taking away.
This is Persida. Can you hear me?
Yeah. How are you?
I'm okay. I was a person who had trouble getting onto this. And this is the last class, and I really, you know, I still got to catch up on the other classes. But anyways, I really enjoyed the seminar, and I've learned so much that I wasn't even aware of. And I really like the exercises that you recommend about the brainstorming, the titles and the subtitles, because I got stuck on that. And so so that's going to be helpful that I take time to do that.
And the key is getting grounded and centered in a state of mind where you have access to all the information in all of your states of mind, a really free flow and a focus that you just write down everything.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I interrupted you.
No, that's okay. And also, I really appreciate the various platforms that you lifted up, because I had no idea that there's so many ways that you can promote your book.
I'm interrupting you, I know, but I wanted to respond to that and add on to what Benita mentioned, that when you release your book, think about affiliate partners. Think about people who would be willing to share to their list the announcement of your book, and you can offer them, you know, a free copy or whatever. When I released Secret Language of Money with McGraw-Hill, my co-author, John David Mann, and I pooled our resources to everybody we could think of anywhere in the world and timed it so that at the day of release, there were emails that went to 1.2 million people.
Wow.
So that kind of affiliate network of people who are willing to do those announcements can be huge.
Yeah, definitely.
So just to think about.
Yeah, thank you. And blogs, too. I'm like the other caller before me who was afraid of emails. I'm afraid of blogs, so I have to find a way to do that.
Show me an obstacle, and I'll show you a desire. So instead of creating an obstacle, then go to the desire, and how do you do that?
Desires.
Because the obstacle's
do
not there unless you create it. Whatever we think and feel and experience, we create each
other.
So
I have to change my thought and say, I can do this.
How you frame something boots up the whole mindset and the neurochemical system of dealing with it. You know, our brains don't know the difference between anxiety and excitement. Frame it as anxiety, it makes sense to head for cover. If we frame it as excitement, as challenge, as opportunity, then we look for ways to create new ways to engage. So how you frame something,
that's
you know,
true.
Says a
thank
lot.
You.
One of my favorite social scientists that I follow, the title of his book, talked about this before, the title of his book says everything I could say in a much more succinct way. Don't think of an elephant.
How
you frame something, you know, so frame it in a positive way.
Yes, that's very good. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Thank you so
much. Well, I know we're out of time. I really appreciate all of your input, the emails, suggestions, and areas you wanted to focus. I hope this has been beneficial. I'll be eager to hear what you're up to. Let me know what you're up to, and if I can be of help in any way, I hope you'll let me know. So thank
I
you
will.
Very, very much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
To
you. It was wonderful.
See you guys. Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so
Bye
much.
Now.
Thanks, Dave.
Thank you.